us to be able to allow it to be a time of growth, Father, as we just continue to study these different subjects in the Bible. In your precious name I pray. Amen. All right, well, we're there in Acts chapter number 8. You should have got your little handout or lesson there. And like we've announced, we're going on Sunday nights through a discipleship course. And this isn't a discipleship course that we purchased anywhere, anything like that. It's something I wrote myself. And we're going through some basic discipleship lessons, fundamental truths, just the basic fundamental things that every Christian needs to know. Now, normally at our church, we don't usually hand out notes like this or anything like that. We've been doing it the last few weeks on Sunday nights. And the only reason for that is this. When we're preaching on fundamental truth, and we're teaching just the basic discipleship things that every Christian needs to know, I wanted you to have something in your hands that you can look back to, that you can review, and that maybe one day you would be able to use that material to maybe disciple and confirm another soul. And when you get someone saved, then you can teach them about these things. The first lesson we taught in the series on fundamental truth, if you remember, was on salvation and what salvation is and what the Bible teaches about that and how you get saved and why we need. We talked about our sin and the Savior and what it is to be saved. Lesson number two last week, we preached still on the subject of salvation. We dealt with the subject of eternal security. And once saved, always saved. And why we believe and why the Bible, how, you know, we went through and just taught very clearly from Scripture that God, the Bible is very clear, we believe in the eternal security of the believer. Once you're saved, the Bible says no man can take you, can take that salvation from you. So, the next step after salvation, once you're saved, and you understand eternal security, of course, that's part of salvation, the next step after salvation that God wants us to take is the step of baptism. And that's really the first step in the Christian life. So tonight, we're going to study the subject of baptism. Like I said, normally don't give out notes like this, but we'll be doing it on Sunday nights for the next few weeks as we're going through this fundamental truths course, just because I want you to have something to look at. And the point is that you can review back to it, you can study it, you can teach it to someone else. So number one, when we're studying baptism, we've got to understand this. What is baptism? What is baptism? And if you see there, the answer is baptism means to be submerged underwater. That's it. That's what the word baptism means, actually. It means to be submerged. An example of baptism being submerged in water is found in Scripture. And I put the definition there for you. Submerged, to put underwater, to cover or overflow with water. And I want you to understand. See, we've got to understand what baptism is so we can understand what the Bible teaches about it. And we read there Acts chapter number 8. You've got it in your notes there. If you look at verse number... before you look at verse 38, let me just make sure you understand. We read the chapter here just a second ago. But if you look at verse number 27, Acts chapter number 8, look at verse number 27. The Bible says, "And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopian eunuch." So you've got Philip, and the angel of the Lord comes to Philip, and he says, "Go down, and I want you to talk to this certain person." And he talks to this Ethiopian eunuch. It says there, "And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopian eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship." So this was a political figure, you could say. He was the treasurer for the queen Candace of the Ethiopians. He had great authority. He was a man of importance. And he came to Jerusalem for to worship. Verse 28 says, he was returning and sitting in his chariot and read Isaiah the prophet. It says Isaiah there, but that's the New Testament writing of the name Isaiah. So he's reading the book of Isaiah. He's reading the Bible, which is in the Old Testament, of course. Verse 29, the Bible says, "And the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran hither to him." And I always... think of that, you know, when I read this passage, you know. Here you have a man sitting in a chariot, you know, that's being dragged by horses, and Philip just takes off running, and he's running, up to this chariot, and he's running up, and if you look at verse 30, he says, "And Philip ran hither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said," this is what Philip said to the Ethiopian eunuch, he says, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" So he asked him a question, he said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" Look at the response, verse 31. "And he said, How can I? Except some man should guide me." He said, "Well, how am I supposed to understand this unless somebody teaches me what this is talking about?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Now, verse 32, the place of the scripture where he read was this. So, we know, and if you're interested, jot this down in your notes. He's reading Isaiah chapter 53, specifically verses 7 through 8. And really, what we're going to read here in verses 32 and on are a quote directly out of the book of Isaiah. And it says, and verse 32, and the place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shears, so opened he not his mouth. That kind of goes with what we were preaching this morning. You know, he didn't revile back, remember? Verse 33, in his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth. Now in verse 34, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray. That word pray means ask. He said, I pray thee. He said, let me ask you a question. He said, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Now keep in mind, Isaiah 53 is a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shears, so opened he not his mouth. That's a prophecy that Jesus Christ would one day as a lamb, John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. So this eunuch asked Philip, he says, look, of whom speaketh the prophet these things? Of himself or of some other man? Is he saying this of someone else? Or is he saying, as Isaiah saying, that this is going to happen to him? Or is he saying that's going to happen to someone else? Verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. So he begins to explain to him, look, this is talking about Jesus Christ. This is not anyone else. You know, this is not Isaiah. Look at verse 36. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now that word hinder means stop. Or get in my way, or what's stopping me. And he asked this question, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And in verse 37, Philip gives him a very precise answer. Look what it says, verse 37. And Philip said, if. Now notice, that if is a big if there. Because he says, you got to understand, this is what's hindering you. He says, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. So he said, what's hindering me? What's stopping me from getting baptized? And he said, hey, if you believe with all your heart, you can get baptized. Look at the last part of verse 37. And he, the eunuch, answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, please understand that. For you and I, we say the name Jesus Christ and we just assume that's the name. The word Christ, the Bible tells us, I don't have time to show it to you. You can study on your own if you like. But the word Christ means Messiah. And what he was saying was, I believe that Jesus he's the Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the Savior of the world. And he is the Son of God. So he said, look, I believe that. I believe that Jesus is the Savior. I believe that He's the Son of God. I believe that He's the Messiah. So, notice verse 38. And He commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and He baptized them. So see, He asked them in verse 36, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Verse 37, the answer was, if thou believest all thine heart, thou mayest. The eunuch response to that is, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then they stopped the chariot, He took him down, He baptized them. So you've got to understand, what is baptism? Look at verse number 39. And when they were come up, I want you to notice, make note of these words. When they were come up out of the water. Do you see that? Now, in order to come up out of the water, don't you first have to go down into the water? Do you understand what I'm saying? Baptism is to be submerged, is to be put under, is to be covered with water. That's what it means. And in Acts chapter number 8, it says, verse 39, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went out on his way rejoicing. So I want you to see, when he was baptized, the Bible says, look at verse 38 again, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they, notice this terminology, went down both into the water, so they went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them, and when they were come up out of the water, so they go down into the water, they come up out of the water. Keep your finger in Acts 8, because we're going to come back to it. Go to Matthew chapter number 3, or I guess you don't have to go there, it's in your notes, but I kind of like going to the passage, I don't know about you. Matthew chapter number 3, look at verse number 13. Matthew chapter number 3, look at verse number 13. The Bible says, this is of course the example that the Lord Jesus Christ gave us when He was baptized, and I want you to see this. In Matthew 13, verse 13, I'm sorry, Matthew 3, verse 13, the Bible says, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now. That word suffer it means allow. He says, allow it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And he suffered him. And Jesus, notice what it says, when he was baptized, went up straight out of the water. Do you see that? So in order, again, to come up straight out of the water, don't you have to go down into the water? So he goes down into the water, went up straight out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So, what is baptism? It means to be submerged underwater. The biblical example is this. They go down into the water. They come up out of the water. Jesus went down into the water and went up straightway out of the water. Say, Pastor, why do you bring that up? Why is it a big deal? Well, if you look at letter B, under point number one there, there are today different types of religions or different things. They'll say things like, well, it's okay to sprinkle water. It's okay to pour water. And, it's just not a biblical method of baptism. Sprinkling or pouring of water is not a scriptural method of baptism. And I would, ask anyone who believes otherwise to show me in the Bible any example where you find someone being baptized by the fact that they were sprinkled with water or they were being poured with water. Every time you find someone getting baptized in water, they're going down into the water, they're coming up out of the water, and that's very important. There's a reason for that, and we'll talk about it here in a second. But let me just give you one more proof as to why sprinkling and pouring is not proper baptism. You got it there in your notes. If you look at John chapter 3, verse 23, the Bible says, and John also, John the Baptist, also was baptizing in Ainon near Salem. Now, John was baptizing in a very specific place. He was baptizing in Ainon near Salem. Why was he baptizing there? Because, look at the verse, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized. See, John chose a specific place to baptize. Why? Because there's a lot of water there. Why do you need a lot of water? Because you got to submerge people underwater in order to baptize them. Does that make sense? If John could have just sprinkled people to baptize them or poured water on them, you didn't need that much water. Okay? Everything in the Bible is there for a reason. The Bible says because there was much water there and they came and were baptized. So number one, what is baptism? Baptism is to be submerged under water. Number two, when should someone be baptized? When should someone be baptized? The answer to that is this. Immediately after, and make sure you understand this, only after being saved. Immediately after, and only after being saved. Did you keep your finger there in Acts chapter 8? Go back to Acts chapter 8. Or just look at your notes. Acts chapter number 8, look at verse number 36. Acts chapter number 8, look at verse 36. The Bible says, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, remember we looked at this? What hinders you from getting baptized? Well, he says, if thou believest all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. So we see there a biblical example. When was someone allowed to be baptized? After they believed. You see that? He said, what doth hinder me baptized? He said, well, if thou believest all thine heart, thou mayest. He said, I believe. He says, okay, let's baptize you. But it's a very specific question there. He said, when should I be baptized? After you believe. When does the Bible say you ought to be baptized? After you get saved. When should you, before you get saved? No. After. And by the way, this is one of the reasons at Verity Baptist Church, we reject the practice of infant baptism. We don't baptize children. And you say, well, why is that? Well, the reason for that is because the Bible says that you ought to get baptized after you are saved. A child is not saved. You say, why? A child's not saved? Well, a child's not saved because a child's not condemned. You understand that? If a child dies, they go to heaven. The Bible says, Paul said that when he understood sin, the law caused him to die. Okay? What kills us is our sin, is the law brings death. Okay? And we understand that children are sinners, but they don't, when they're that age where they're not able to understand, you just gotta know this, and I don't have time, that's a sermon for another time. But the Bible is very clear. Children, when they die, go to heaven. Okay? And it is an odd doctrine to teach that if a child isn't sprinkled with water and he dies or she dies, that God's gonna send them to hell because they didn't have water put on. That's ridiculous. Children are not condemned. You understand that? Children are innocent. If you need proof of that, just go hold my beautiful little daughter, and you better, you know, don't tell me she's a sinner. Nah, yeah. Children are innocent. They don't sin. You understand that? So they don't need salvation. You need salvation, because you're a sinner. And so after salvation, the Bible says, what doth hinder me to be baptized? He said, if thou believest. He said, if you have faith, you can be baptized. He said, I believe. He said, okay, let's baptize you. So when should we baptize someone? Immediately after salvation, not before. We don't baptize people before salvation. We baptize them after salvation. Not only that, but we shouldn't make people wait baptized. They should be baptized immediately after salvation. Let me show you. Look at Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Now, Acts chapter 16 is a very interesting story, very well-known story. The Apostle Paul was in prison. And when they were in prison there, the Bible tells us they were singing praises, and they were singing hymns and all night long. And just to kind of give you, Paul and Silas were doing that, just to kind of give you a little bit of background, as they're in prison, the Bible says there was a great earthquake. And when the earthquake happened, all the prison doors opened up. And the prisoners were able to go free. Now, they didn't go free. But when the guard saw that they were open, he assumed everybody went free. And he grabbed a sword to commit suicide. You say, why was he going to do that? In these times, when a soldier was given the responsibility of guarding a prisoner, if the prisoner was allowed to go free, escaped, then the soldier was put to death. It was a death penalty. He says, they would say, if you let a prisoner go, then we're going to take your life. And when this earthquake happened and the guard woke up and saw all the doors were open, he thought, oh man, everybody left. He said, I'm just going to kill myself right now because they're going to kill me anyway. And Paul says, hey, do thyself no hurt. Look at verse 29. Then he, Acts 16, 29, the guard, then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, notice what he said. He says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He'd heard them singing. He'd heard them preaching. All night long, they were talking about salvation and Jesus Christ and all these things. And he wasn't listening. He wasn't paying attention. But it had such an effect on the prison guards, they all got honest. And when they had the ability to run away, they didn't. And this man was so moved by this, he said to Paul and Silas, he said, what must I do to be saved? Look at verse 31. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Yes. And thy house. Yes. Look at verse 32. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them, now notice this, the same hour. Do you see that? The same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized. When was he baptized? The same hour? The same hour of what? The same hour he got saved. He said, what must I do to be saved? Paul says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And the Bible tells us that same hour, at midnight, he took him out, he washed his stripes, and they baptized him, he and all his house. And notice the last part of verse 33, straightway. That word straightway means immediately. You know what that teaches us? People say, Pastor, when do you think I should get baptized? Immediately. As soon as possible. When you get saved, the next thing you should do should be to get baptized. Say, when should I get baptized? You get saved, then you get baptized. How long should I wait? Immediately, straight away. That's what the Bible example is of baptism. Have you noticed all we're doing is looking at examples in the Bible? See, this is how we got to understand. If we're going to develop doctrines and develop the way we believe about things, we have to get it from Scripture. We must allow the Bible to be our authority. So when we're interested to find out about baptism, here's all we do. We figure out, what does the Bible say about baptism? Well, when we study what the Bible says about baptism, we say, well, what is baptism? And then we find Jesus Christ being baptized, and he comes straight up out of the water. And we learn from that he went down into the water, came up out of the water. We find the Ethiopian eunuch being baptized, and they went down into the water and came up out of the water. We find John looking for a location to baptize, and he chooses a place where there's much water. Why? Because baptism is to be submerged. Under the water, come up out of the water. When should we be baptized? We see, you get baptized after you believe. You get baptized how soon after you believe? Immediately. As soon as possible. Number three. Is being baptized by any religious leader acceptable? Now, I want to make sure you understand this. Go to Matthew if you want, or look at your notes there. Is being baptized by any religious leader acceptable? Now, oftentimes people will ask me this question. I'll say, Pastor, I used to go to this, whatever. Pick a church. I used to go to this Pentecostal church. I used to go to this other church. They baptized me. Is that okay? Well, I like to answer questions with the Word of God. So look at Matthew chapter 3. Again, this is when Jesus was being baptized. Verse 13, the Bible says this. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John. Now this is John the Baptist, not the disciple John. It says, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? So no, John is like, I'm not Jesus. If anything, you should be baptizing me. Why would I baptize you? But I want you to notice what Jesus said. Look at verse 15. And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it. That word suffer means allow. He says, allow it to be so now. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Now here's what Jesus said. He said, you've got to allow this to happen, John. John, you've got to baptize me. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. You see that word righteousness there? See the first part of the word righteousness? It says right. This is what Jesus was saying. He was saying, John, if we're going to do this right, if we're going to do this correctly, I need you to baptize me. Now you say, I don't understand. Well, here's what you got to understand, okay? In the day of Jesus, there were many religious leaders. There was Pharisees, many Pharisees. There were Sadducees, many Sadducees. There were priests, many priests. There was a high priest. There were scribes. There was lawyers. All sorts of religious leaders. Jesus could have gone to any of them and said, Nicodemus, won't you baptize me? You understand what I'm saying? Could have gone to any Pharisee, any Sadducee. But he went to John. He went to John the Baptist. And when John said, I can't baptize you. If anything, you should baptize me. Jesus said, if we're going to do this right, I need you to baptize me. I can't have the Pharisees baptize me. Because here's what you understand. When you get baptized, you're identifying yourself with the person that baptized you. And Jesus said, I can't identify myself with the Pharisee. They believe in work salvation. I can't identify myself with a Sadducee. They don't even believe in the resurrection. He said, I can't identify myself with a priest. They're sacrificing a lamb thinking that lamb's going to take away their sin, not realizing that I'm the lamb that taketh away the sins of the world. He says, John, you're preaching the gospel. John, you're preaching the Bible. John, you're teaching salvation without works, by faith, through grace. You're the man of God, John. I need you to do it. So you've got to understand, it is important. You say, well, I got baptized, and so-and-so baptized me. Does it make a difference? It does make a difference. Like I said, we're just answering questions tonight. We said number one. What was number one? What is baptism? Baptism is to be submerged. Number two, when should someone be baptized? Immediately after and only after being saved. Number three, is being baptized by any religious leader acceptable? The answer is no. Jesus said, I need John to baptize me. And by the way, he needed John the Baptist to baptize him. He didn't need non-denom John. He didn't need John the Presbyterian. He didn't need John the Calvinist. He said, John, you're the Baptist, you baptize me. And I like that. I like our name, Baptist. Number four. What is the purpose of being baptized? What is the purpose of being baptized? You can look there at your notes, Romans chapter 6, or you can go there in your Bible. Romans chapter number 6. The purpose of being baptized is to identify yourself as a believer. Romans chapter 6 says this, verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. And I want you to make note of these words. Like as, you see that? And like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the, make note of this word, likeness of his death, we shall be also in the, make note of this word, likeness of his resurrection. The Bible says that we're supposed to be baptized that like as Christ, that in the likeness of his death, that in the likeness of his resurrection. I'm here to tell you, baptism is the likeness, the like as of salvation. And I want to make sure you understand that. The best example I've ever seen anybody use, and I use it all the time, is this. Baptism, you know, sometimes I was just talking to somebody about baptism today. And I said to them, I didn't have my wallet or anything. I just pulled out my phone and I showed them a picture of my daughter. Can you see that? You need to get your eyes checked. Nah, I can barely see it. But I showed them a picture of my daughter. And I said, this is my daughter, Elizabeth Rose. And I said, let me ask you a question. I said, go ahead. I said, who is that? He said, that's your daughter, Elizabeth Rose. And I said, wrong. And he said, now here's the thing. I'm going to give you one more try. I said, this is my daughter, Elizabeth Rowe. I said, who is that? And he said, that's your daughter, Elizabeth Rowe. I said, wrong. Now I'm going to give you one more answer. One more try. And I even gave it to them this year. I said, this is a picture of my daughter, Elizabeth Rose. Who is that? And he said, that's Elizabeth Rose. And I said, wrong. He said, you are not a bright student. I said, this is a picture of my daughter, Elizabeth Rose. This is an image of my daughter, Elizabeth Rose. I said, my daughter, Elizabeth Rose, probably in there, you know, wrecking havoc right now. And I explained to him, that's what baptism is. This is not my daughter. This is a picture of her. This is the likeness of her. Baptism is not salvation. It is a picture of salvation. And we've got to understand that. Because today people believe you must be baptized to be saved. No. Baptism, we got a baptistry here. It's all, someone said to me, it's also where we keep the bodies. So be behaved. We got a baptistry here. And when someone steps into our baptistry, it's full of water. They step into our baptistry and they're sitting there and the water comes up to about the waist or whatever, midsection. And when they're sitting there and the water is in their section, that's a picture of the cross. And when we take that individual and bring them down into the water, that's a picture of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they come up out of the water, it's a picture of the resurrection. What you're saying, what you're doing when you get baptized, is you're saying this. You're saying, I believe that Jesus Christ was buried, that he died, was buried, and rose from the grave as a payment for my sin. Now here's the thing. Is baptism salvation? No, it is the likeness. It is the image. It is the picture. Is this my daughter? No. It's just an image of her. It allows you to see what she looks like. We publicly show what happened in our heart by faith, where we accepted by faith the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When we get baptized and we show that like as Christ, not that we were raised like Christ, it says that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. For if we be implanted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Amen. It's the like figure. We'll see that here in a little bit. Baptism is a picture of salvation. Baptism is not salvation. By the way, and I know some of you heard this before, but I'm just going to say it again because it helps people understand. Baptism, another example I like to use is my wedding ring. Baptism, I used to be able to take this thing off. But I gained a pound of weight right on this finger. Now it's hard. Now I got it off. Now, I like to tell people, a baptism is like this wedding ring. When my wife and I got married, I gave her a ring and she gave me a ring. And we put it on. Now here's the thing. Is this ring there to tell me that I'm married? Or is it there to tell others that I'm married? You understand that? The ring there is to tell other people that I'm married. And the ring on my finger, that sure better tell other people that she's married. Understand that? Now here's the thing. If I take my ring off, am I still married? Of course I am. If I never got a ring, would I still be married? Of course I would. Does the wearing or the not wearing of the ring determine my marital status? It doesn't. I'm married with or without the ring, but the ring allows people to know that I'm married. Amen. You can be saved with or without baptism. You can believe with or without baptism. What are you telling me today? You must be baptized to be saved. I said, when did the sinner on the cross get baptized? I said, remember the guy on the cross with Jesus? Yeah. Remember he said, you know, remember me when thou enterest into thy kingdom? And Jesus said, get baptized and I'll think about it. Is that what he said? He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He never got baptized. He never repented of his sins. He died in his sin on the cross. But he was still saved. See, baptism is a picture of salvation. It allows people to see. Publicly, I'm telling people, hey, I'm married to Christ. Yes. But if I had no ring, I'd still be married. And if I never got baptized, I'd still be. But please understand that baptism is a picture. It identifies you with Christ, number one. But number two, look at Acts 2:41. Then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there was added unto them. And the them there in the context is referring to the church in Jerusalem. About 3,000 souls. See, not only does baptism identify you with Christ, baptism identifies you with the church and with the preacher. That's why it was very important
to the Lord Jesus Christ that he was baptized by John the Baptist. Why? Because he wanted to be identified with John the Baptist. So baptism identifies us with Jesus Christ. Baptism identifies us with the church that you get baptized. Number five. Is water baptism part of salvation? Now, I already told you it's not. Or is water baptism needed to wash away your sins? Oftentimes people say things like this. You get saved, but when you get baptized, it washes away your sins. Now, I want to give you a few examples here of passages that people try to use to teach that baptism is part of salvation. Because sometimes people, you know, they act like this. Well, let me show you this one verse. And it's like, look, you're not going to show me no verse in the Bible that I'm going to disagree with. But we got to make sure we understand the Bible. Now, before we even get into these, let me just grab your Bible, just real quickly. I just need to make a very clear point. Go to John, just real quickly. John chapter number 1. In John chapter number 1, if you look at verse number 7, the Bible says this. John chapter number 1 and verse number 7. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. Why did he come to bear witness of the light? That all men through him might, what's that next word? Believe. Do you see that? Look at verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. To who did he become power to become the sons of God? Them, as many as received him. Notice the last part of verse 12. Even to them that, what's that next word? Believe on his name. Do you see that? Go to John chapter number 3. Look at verse 15. John chapter 3. Just flip the pages real quickly. John chapter 3 verse 15. That whosoever, what's that next word? Believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. How do you get eternal life? By believing on him. Look at verse 16. Most famous verse in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever, what's that say? Believeth in him should not perish but have what? Everlasting life. How do you get everlasting life? By believing on him. Look at verse 18. He that what? Believeth on him is not what? Condemned. How do you get not condemned? By believing on him. But he that believeth not is condemned already. So how do you get condemned? By not believing. Because why? He hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Look at verse 36. Same chapter. Verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. How do you have everlasting life? By believing on the Son. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. How do you have the wrath of God abiding on you? By not believing on the Son. Go to John chapter 4. Look at verse 42. In John chapter 4, look at verse 42. And said unto the woman, now we, what? Believe. Not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. They said, we believe that he's the Christ. We believe that he's the Savior of the world. Look at John chapter 5, verse 24. John 5, 24. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. How do you get passed from death to life? By believing on his word. By believing on him that sent him. Look at verse 38. And he that and ye have not his word abiding in you. Why do they not have his word abiding in you? For whom he had sent, him ye believed not. Do you see that? Go to John chapter 6, verse 29. John chapter 6, verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God. All of these work salvation people, you want to know what work God wants you to do? This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Isn't it very clear in the Bible? What does God want you to do? I believe in work salvation. What's the work he wants you to do? That ye believe on him who hath sent him. Look at verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, look what Jesus said. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that, what's that say? Believeth on me shall never thirst. Look at verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. Look at verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Go, just look at verse number 69. And we believe
and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Go ahead, look at chapter 7, verse 38. He that believeth on the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that, what? Believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So how do you get the Holy Ghost? By believing. How do you get everlasting life? By believing. How do you become a son? By believing. Look at John 8, verse 24. John 8, verse 24. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall not die, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. That's a very important phrase there. I am. Look at John chapter 9. Look at verse 35. John chapter 9, verse 39. 5. Jesus heard that they cast him out. And when they had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. Look at chapter 10, verse 26. But ye believe not, because ye are not my sheep, as I said unto you. Look at verse 37. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know, and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him. Look at chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said unto her, notice, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever believeth, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Look at verse 27. She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Look at verse 40. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that thou wouldest, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Look at verse 42. I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Am I making my point? You want me to keep going? Because I can go on night long. We're only halfway through the book of John. And we can go through Acts, Romans. It's very clear in Scripture that what saves you is believing. And what condemns you is not believing. Was there any mention in there about baptism? Was there any mention in there about repentance of your sins? Was there any mention in there about works, about church attendance? Was there any mention in there about confessing your sins to a man? Was there any mention in there about doing anything? What it kept saying over and over and over and over. This word kept coming up. Believe, believe, believe. They asked the Philippian jailer, asked, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. What brings salvation? Believe. You say, Pastor, why are you making a big deal about that? Because I want you to understand, the overwhelming message of Scripture is this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Yes. You say, why are you making a big deal? Because I'm going to show you a couple verses that people like to twist in order to make the Bible sound like you need to be baptized. Let me show a couple of them to you. You're there in John, right? Go back to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, or you can look at your notes there. Of course, this is the story of famous story. When Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus, John chapter 3, look at verse 1. The Bible says there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a ruler of the Jews. Look at verse 2. And the same came by Jesus by night. Why did he come by night? Because he didn't want people to see him. Why did he want people to see him? Because he was a ruler of the Jews. He was a Pharisee. And he was coming to Jesus to ask him a question. And he didn't want the other Pharisees to see him asking, talking to Jesus. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said, Jesus gets it right to the chase. He doesn't waste any time. He's not trying to build a relationship. He just said, look, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Yes. He said, look, you got to be born again or you're not going to see the kingdom of God. Now, Nicodemus, of course, didn't understand this. Look at verse 4. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Because Nicodemus assumed that Jesus was talking about when he said that you must be born again. He assumed that he was saying you got to be born again physically. And Nicodemus said in verse 4, Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Okay, so get the context. Jesus says to Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, be born a second time, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
assumes that Jesus is saying he's got to have a second physical birth. And he says, how can I enter a second time into my mother's womb and be born? Because he's an old man. Jesus, verse 5, is response to verse 4. Verse 5 comes after verse 4. Is that correct in all your Bibles? In verse 5, Jesus answered. Why did he answer? Because he was asked a question. He said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb? In verse 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water. See? There, right there. You got to be born of the water. You got to be born of water. That's baptism. Okay, hold on a second. Let's look at it in this context. He says, except a man be born of water, number one, and of the Spirit, number two, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, the context of verse 5 is with verse 4. Nicodemus is talking about a physical birth. He said, do I have to be born physically twice? And Jesus is answering that question and saying, no, Nicodemus, you didn't get it. You're born of water, number one, and then the second birth is a spiritual birth. Okay? Now, in verse 5, and in verse 6, he further explains. Okay, so there's two births in verse 5. The first, born of water. The second, born of the Spirit. Verse 6, that which is number one, born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is number two, born of the Spirit is Spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. He said, look, don't marvel at this. It's not hard to understand. He said, look, you need two births. Look what Jesus said. He said, you want to get to the kingdom of God, you need two births. You need a physical birth. You got to be born physically to be saved. You understand that? He said, number two, you need a spiritual birth. There's two births in chapter 5, in verse 5. There's being born of the water, and there's being born of the Spirit. And there's two births in verse 6. There's being born of the flesh, and being born of the Spirit. Now, would you and I agree that the second birth in verse 6 and the second birth in verse 5 are the same birth? In verse 5, when it says to be born of the Spirit, and in verse 6, when it says to be born of the Spirit, do we agree that's the same birth? Well, if you agree with that, then the context tells us that the first birth in verse 6, being born of the flesh, is the same birth of verse 5, being born of the water. You ever heard of, hey, let me just give you some advice, guys. You ever hear a lady with an oversized stomach say, my water broke, just get out of the way. Just get out of town. Don't be anywhere near that. Because guess what? When the water breaks, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. But that's the physical birth, Nicodemus. You already had that, Nicodemus. The second birth is being born of the Spirit. No, that water birth, that's baptism. Where does the word baptism use? Just because the Bible uses the word water, you assume it's baptism? You understand that? Now here's what I'm saying. I read for you, and I probably read 20 verses in a matter of 5 minutes, that said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe, 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 believe. He that believeth on him shall not be condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. Believe, it's faith. Believe, 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 believe. You find one verse that uses the word water, and you say, see, baptism has to be part of salvation. You see how unbalanced that is? You have 100 verses that say salvation is believe. You got one verse that uses the word water in it, and the context doesn't even talk about baptism, doesn't explain baptism. And you want to try to develop this whole doctrine about you got to be baptized or you're not saved. See, we must understand that the context of Scripture must be within other verses. Let me give you another example. And these are the most common verses people like to use to say that you must be baptized to be saved. Mark 16, verse 16. Now, this is actually a good one. Mark 16, 16. Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And I've had so many people take me this verse, Mark 16, 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. See? There, right there. You got to believe and you got to get baptized. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And I say this. Is there a period at the end of that? Now, it looks like a semicolon to me, so why don't we keep reading? But he that believeth not shall be damned. Okay? So, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But what condemns you? What damns you? And that's a Bible word. Don't let that offend you. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Does it say, but he that believeth not and is not baptized? If you don't believe but are baptized, will you be saved? If you are if you believe but aren't, you see what I'm saying? What condemns a person is not believing. Now, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's a true statement. And it could say, he that believeth and does jumping jacks. It could say, he that believeth and drinks a lot of water. It could say, he that believeth and runs a marathon. Because believing will save you. Do you understand that? But what will damn you? What will condemn you? Believing not. See, if you just allow, and here's the thing. If you just had that one verse, I could understand how maybe you might have, it might pose a question. But when you have hundreds of other verses that say it's believe, 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 believe. Here's what I'm trying to explain to you. Because this is how false doctrines get started. If you have one verse that kind of sounds like maybe baptism is part of salvation, and you've got 1,000 verses that say no, it's believe, it's faith, it's not of works, it's by grace, you want to go. You should always assume this, because the Bible never contradicts itself. Unless you got an NIV, the Bible, somebody came to me with an NIV. The Bible contradicts itself here. Can you explain that to me? I said, no, it contradicts itself there. That's the NIV. Get a King James Bible. But if you've got a Bible, the Word of God, it never contradicts itself. So just always assume this. Whenever I look at a verse and I think, that doesn't sound right, I always just assume that I'm misinterpreting it. And I just need to study more and understand it. Because the Bible, but here's the thing. If 1,000 verses say believe, and one verse kind of maybe sounds because they added the word water in there, you understand? I'm going to put my eternal soul on the line of the 100 verses that say it's believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, not the one verse that kind of maybe sound like it could possibly. But that's the one verse. They want to take the first part of one verse and say, see, believe and be baptized. But hold on. But he that believeth not shall be damned. He that believeth hath life. But he that believeth not shall not see life, for the wrath of God abideth upon him. The Bible is very clear. Number three, Acts 2:38. This is my favorite one. Acts 2:38. People say this. Well, Acts 2:38, the Bible says, then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remissions of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And people say, see? There, right there. It says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. So you've got to be baptized so that you can have remission of sins. Now, I looked in a dictionary. If you look at letter A there, one dictionary that I looked into had 15 different definitions for the word for. Don't you love the English language? 15 different definitions for the word for. Okay? So let's just go through this logically. One of the definitions, if you look at number one, was this. In order to obtain, gain, or acquire a suit for alimony, to work for, to obtain, to gain, to acquire wages. That was the example. So one of the definitions was this. In order to obtain, gain, or acquire. Okay, so let's put in that definition in the place of the word for. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, in order to obtain, gain, or acquire the remissions of sins. Now, doesn't that sound like you need to be baptized to be saved? Yes, it does. But, number two, there was another definition I found for the word for. And it was this. By reason of, because of, and it says to shout for joy was an example. A city famed for its beauty. You ever walk into the post office and you see a picture of Brother Vincent and it says wanted for, you know what I'm talking about? Have you seen that one? I took it down. That's our usher. The word for means because of, and by the way, that term is the number one probably used term in the Bible. The word for means because of. So let's put that definition in the verse. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, because of the remissions of sin. Do you see how that changed the whole word? If you look at it one way, it says you got to get baptized in order to be saved. If you look at it the other way, it says you should get baptized because you are saved. Because of the remissions of sins, you ought to repent. Because of the remissions of sins, you ought to be baptized. Now, here's the question I have. And this is the question I asked to an individual today that I was talking to about this. I said, if you go with definition number one, then that verse is the only verse in the entire Bible that says you've got to be baptized to be saved. And it flies in the face of 1,000 other verses that says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But if you go with the second definition that says, because of, then that verse goes perfectly with every other verse in the Bible. So which definition do you think it is? And you know what he said to me? I think it's number one. And I said, you're going to die and go to hell. I mean, I don't know what else to say to you. The Bible said, and I used, and you better believe I went through and read, just like I did with you, went through every verse in John, every verse in Acts, believe. One verse, well, that kind of sounds like it could maybe be, you're insane, my friend. Let me tell you something. Go with the majority of the Scripture. If most of the Scripture says it's believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, look, don't mess with that. It's believe on the Lord. But this verse kind of sounds, you're just not defining it right. You're just not looking at it right. But I'm going to go with definition number two. Because definition number two doesn't take away anything from that verse. And it goes perfectly in the context of the rest of the Scripture. Does that make sense? When we study Scripture, we can't, and this is how false religion gets started. People take one phrase, one little verse, one little thing. Just take it out of context and say, look, this is our religion right here. Say, no, let's read that in its context. Let's read that in the verse. Let's look at one more thing. Number four. 1 Peter 3:18-22. 1 Peter 3. I said 18:22, but let's start reading in verse number 20. Are you warm? Is anybody warm? Is everybody comfortable? Everybody's comfortable? Man, I'm hot. My ears are burning up. Okay, we got to do this quickly. 1 Peter 3, because the telemaflu, or whatever it is waiting. What's it called? Whatever. Tiramisu. 1 Peter 3:20. Look what it says. Which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, when few, that is, eight souls, look what it says, were saved by water. Okay? So people say, see, they were saved by water. Well, number one, we're talking about Noah, not salvation. Okay? Do you understand that? Noah... God flooded the earth with water. Noah stepped into the ark, and he was saved in the ark. And by the way, that's a picture of Jesus Christ, the ark. You enter into the ark for salvation. But look at verse 21. What does it say? The like what? Do you see that? Isn't that just like Romans? Like as, in the likeness of, the like figure. So what was the like figure? Noah on the ark, he says, the like figure whereunto even baptism does now also save us. Now, notice this, look at the parentheses, because this is what people say about baptism. You get baptized, and it washes away your sins. All your sin, it removes the sins from your body. You know, that's kind of weird, I think. You get baptized, it washes away. I'd hate to be the second guy that got baptized. Man, when I got baptized, I was addicted to drugs. I got all his sins. He left all his sins in here, and I got them on me. You have to like drain the baptistry every time. You can't baptize. Somebody told me today, I got a text message. Somebody, we had 11 baptized today. 11. Good night. I said, man, did they drain the water every time? I don't want to get what he's got. You know what I mean? But look what it says, verse 21. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Look what he says. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. See how the Bible always answers itself for us? Because see, Jesus knew, God knew that one day somebody was going to say, you got to get baptized or wash away your sins. And he says, no. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, here's what I understand. When you've got something in parentheses, you know that the sentence could be said without that which is in parentheses. So let's read it without the parentheses. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth now save us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How are you saved? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Amen! But it is not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. And by the way, it's the like figure. It's a picture. It's an image. Baptism, we already talked about that. It's an image. It's a picture of salvation. Noah's Ark was an image, a picture of salvation. The Passover was a picture, an image of salvation. All of things were a foreshadow of things to come. We understand that. But you got to understand this. Just because you got three verses that maybe sound like they could be baptism plus salvation, and you've got 100 other verses that say otherwise, you got to figure it out. Go with the 100 other verses. So in conclusion, we got to hurry up. You took too long. Conclusion, number one. Baptism is the first step of obedience to God. Baptism is the first step of obedience to God. And let me just say this. Number two, it is a sin to not be baptized. Because when God commands you to do something and you decide not to do it, you are disobedient. You're in direct disobedience to God.
And God has commanded us. Let me show you a few examples. Acts 10:48. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. It says, he commanded them. He didn't suggest. He didn't recommend. You know what I'm saying? He commanded them to be baptized. Look at Matthew 20:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Somebody said to me, nowhere in the Bible does it say that you ought to, because they asked me, I'm taking too long, you guys are going to get upset. They said, when you baptize people, do you baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost? I said, yes. They're like, well, you should just baptize in the name of Jesus. Because Jesus saves. And he said, nowhere in the Bible does it say that you need to be baptized in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Well, did you ever even read the book of Matthew? I mean, did you ever even start at the beginning of the New Testament? I mean, it's pretty clear. I said to them, this is what I said. I said, we shouldn't even argue about this. I said, do you believe in the Trinity? Yeah. Do you believe that Jesus is God the Father? Yeah. Do you believe that Jesus is God the Son? Yeah. Do you believe that Jesus is God the Father? Or God the Holy Spirit? Yeah. They're the same person. It's the same person. You only do it in the name of Jesus. Jesus is the Father. Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father also. He said, before Abraham was, I am. God told Moses, he said, who should I say that sent me? He said, I am that I am, have sent you. God is the Father. Jesus is the Father, and He is the Son. He's the Holy. He said, I don't get that. I don't get it either. I just accept it by faith because it's in the Bible. They're the same person. But He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It's a command. You're commanded. Go ye there. He's telling you, you teach all nations. You baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Number three. And this is just my last warning. I need to say this. When you get baptized, look, God wants you to be saved. You get saved. God wants you to be baptized, you get baptized. But let me just give you some advice right now. When you take that first step of obedience, and you get baptized, you better get ready for the fight, because the devil's going to start attacking you. You take that first step of obedience, I've said this before, and I don't mean to say this to scare anybody, but I have been amazed. At our church, and not everybody's like this, of course not everybody's like this, because otherwise nobody would be here. We understand that. But I've been amazed how many people have came to this church, got saved. They were coming Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, soul winning, reading their Bible, praying, growing. And then we said, hey, we should baptize you. They got excited. Yeah, let's get baptized. We baptized them. Never saw them again. So what happened? The devil attacked. See, look at Matthew chapter 3. Look what it says. Matthew chapter 3. Remember? And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straight out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Jesus got baptized. Glorious time. Look at verse 17. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That's the last verse in chapter 3. Look at the first verse in chapter 4. You got to understand. The first verse of chapter 4 is in the context of the last verse of chapter 3. Look at the first verse, chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. When was he led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil? After he was baptized. See, you get saved, and God says, okay, here's your first test, get baptized. Well, I don't know, it's kind of weird, I don't know, I'm shy, and whatever. God says, when you get baptized, that's the first thing I want you to do, then we'll start talking about the rest. And then you get baptized. And then God says, okay, now the devil's going to start tempting you. Now the devil's going to start fighting you. You just enrolled into a spiritual warfare. And by the way, it's a good fight. It's a good fight, the fight of faith. Don't get scared, just get ready. Don't get scared, just get prepared. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord, so much. Thank you for our church, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to study the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, that every time we think of any subject of Scripture, we just find so many verses that teach us the Bible. Father, we love you, and I pray you'd bless us tonight. In precious name I pray. Amen.